But what I would just highlight some of the things. I know there's been a tremendous amount of discussion around the budget that I submitted, and you know, there's some questions about where some of the different funds are going. So if I could take an opportunity just to highlight some of the things that we've actually done in this year's budget, or some of the priorities that I've put as a result of passing the budget. We'll just go through that quickly. Starting off with the education program, this year's budget that I submitted will have roughly $800,000 in funding for scholarships and educational awards. In the past, it's been around $450,000, somewhere in that range. We've seen where year after year, that's not adequate, $450,000. So I put forward a budget that actually approves a substantial increase in the amount of scholarships and awards that we'd be offering to our students who are pursuing higher education. So that's one thing that I'm proud of. Also, I've identified under my administration some additional dollars for some reading and math specialists that would be hired through our education program. The education director has been in close contact and consultation with school district about some of the issues related to reading and math and where we can be helpful in that area. So I've taken that as a real priority and provided additional $100,000 in funding to be able to bring on board reading math specialists where they're needed. I know in a lot of cases the district is actually responsible for a lot of those things under the No Child Left Behind. Unfortunately, I don't think they've done enough to address it. Again, I do appreciate Superintendent Ray, though. I know that he's done a lot and he's got a lot on his plate and trying to manage the situation at the school related to the mold and all those things. So I don't want to pile on John so much, but these are issues that have been identified and I've taken it upon myself to put the money in place to try and address some of that. And we've also provide additional funding for some staff there to be able to also help in some of the areas that need assistance. And as far as Kamau Medical Center is concerned, they'll get 100% of their funding from IHS. We've also identified some money, roughly $200,000, to help pay for the senior center and paying off the substantial loan that we took out, or the medical center took out for the purposes of constructing that building. We also, under the tribal police program, I budgeted about $1.6 million plus roughly $600,000 in carryover, again, to ensure that we have the adequate amount of officers, we have the resources necessary to do the job, we have the equipment, we have the vehicles, and we have the manpower to keep the community safe. One thing, a new program that I've proposed funding for is an office of tribal fish and wildlife, sort of local game wardens, because oftentimes I hear tremendous amount of concern for illegal hunting, some illegal fishing, illegal wood cutting, those types of things. For me, that is really important. I worked for a long time in the forestry program. I spent a tremendous amount of time out in the woods and out in the forest and saw where there's a definite need. And this program would be established outside of a police program. It would be a law enforcement program, but it would be established outside of the police program, because what's happened is over the years, resource officers that are hired through the police program tend to focus a lot of their attention downtown and in those areas, as opposed to going out and looking for the illegal hunting and those types of things. So I saw where that's a priority for me. Again, prior to my election, I made a commitment to rebuilding our law enforcement services and law enforcement program, and this is one area where I've committed 300 $300,000 towards the establishment of this program. Council ultimately approved my budget to go through LPA, so hopefully we can continue to have that program sustained and funded and grow from there. Another thing that I've put in the budget that's also new is tribal parks program, where we would take, for instance, the campground, a couple of the campgrounds, both the Tishtang campground on Willow Creek side and Hoopa side, do complete renovations of those, manage them more in a way that's what we expect them, how we expect them to be managed. The current campground host up at the Tishtang campground in Willow Creek, Mr. Anchor McCovey, has done a tremendous job in what he's doing up there as far as management of that. You know, he's created an environment up there that's a lot more welcoming. He's done a lot of landscaping. He's created an area there where we've hosted several weddings there at the campground, which, you know, that's, I appreciate that a lot, and I appreciate the efforts that he's put in, and I see the value in taking more of a proactive approach in the management of essentially our parks, and the idea is to create something along the lines of National Park Service, if you will, but a tribal park service. So we've committed some funds for that. We'd also like to identify, obviously, Redwood Grove, you know, the Tishtang Village, getting that rebuilt and managing that, and also potentially incorporating some of the things that are happening there at the museum as far as the tours, the guided tours by Slish and the folks over there at the museum. So that's something that is also, I think, very positive. Now, there's been a lot of discussion around the chairman's budget and the substantial, what appears to be a substantial increase in the chairman's budget. I'll just highlight that a majority or a major portion of the increased funding in the chairman's budget is going towards the emergency assistance burial fund that was transferred from the Kamau Medical Center underneath the chairman's office. That was a decision that the tribal council made in conjunction with my administration to better provide the service there, kind of a one-stop shop, if we will. So that's where a considerable amount of that funding comes from. But also in there, there's a creation of a tribal defense force. And it's something we've talked about before in the past, similar to what a National Guard would be. I think it's important. Like I said, for me, law enforcement and keeping the community safe is something that is a priority, something that I think is necessary in order to protect the community and the resources. So funded that a fairly substantial amount, a couple hundred thousand, go towards hiring between 6 to 12 individuals who would then be trained at a high level to be able to essentially be mostly out in the forest, addressing and identifying some of the issues related to the real dangers that are out there. They'd also be at the service of the tribe in you know, responding to natural disasters, responding to emergencies, responding to those types of things that we are currently lacking. There's just no doubt about that. So that's also another part of some of the increase there to the chairman's budget. Contrary to what folks have said, I didn't give myself a raise. So that's just to clarify that. That's something that always comes up, and you know, politics and elections always tend to get a lot of information out there that might not be quite accurate. So again, that's just something that I've made as priorities. I've provided the additional funding. Also, there's an increase in the council budget. Council's identified cultural projects and those types of things that they'd like to see and like to have the opportunity to be a part of and to fund. So I took it upon myself to include those numbers as well into the tribal budget. Self-governance department is another one that's gotten what appears to be a substantial increase. We were able to successfully negotiate several positions through the Indian Health Service over the last several years. Myself, the self-governance coordinator, Mr. Danny Jordan, we were able to secure roughly $300,000 extra dollars for a number of new positions. We were also able to negotiate several positions into the contract indirect cost proposal negotiated down in Sacramento with the Interior Business Center. Able to secure funding for Office of Vital Statistics and a few other positions there. So that's where a lot of the increase comes in. Also, we budgeted for 50 jobs as a sort of a placeholder in and around the community. Ultimately, where we find the funding for that, that may be something that doesn't necessarily make it at the final cut, but that's something that we're pursuing. We see the need for jobs here locally for a lot of people. And again, that's a commitment of my administration and something that I'd like to see move forward. And also the tribal jail is also a part of that funding increase. And that's due to the self-governance office taking that responsibility or the coordination and the planning for the entire jail concept. It would be housed there initially. They'd be the program that would identify the funding needed to bring in and build a new facility or bring in a mobile facility. It's about $750,000. So that's the reason for why the funding's there. There's also combined programs, insurance, human resources, TARO. Those have been combined under my budget, shows a substantial increase. That's the reasoning behind that. We've also, under the planning department, we've got several planners. We have money that's been identified for two additional grant writers, as well as some other staff to address some of those issues that I know that there's a concern that you've had, as well as I, related to grants and grant writing. So we're going to get that addressed. Economic development is there, about $100,000. It's up from $50,000 last year. It's in order to develop some new ideas and new infrastructure here on the reservation in the valley. The budget's also got $1.5 million for land acquisition. See that as important. Again, Bill Wool property is one that we've identified. We've also identified Mitchell Wagner property. We're exploring the potential purchase of lands off the reservation for potential economic benefit. We've also identified $2 million in new construction. Idea that I'd like to see move forward is a tiny home village, a senior tiny home village located over near the senior center. I think there are a lot of seniors here who would really benefit from something like that. I think it's not something that would cost a whole heck of a lot, but would also be able to provide, you know, essential services for our seniors. It'd be, you know, close to, obviously, the senior center. It's a place where they're able to get lunch, breakfast, and hopefully dinner. We'd be able to expand on that. A lot of these homes, we'd be able to also access potential live-in care for them, or, you know, somebody there may be on site, be able to help with that. Also, I've identified, you know, a skate park. It's fairly reasonable to build something like that, construct something like that. It's not very expensive at all to do that. Also identified the need for a new youth center in the $2 million. So those are three priorities that I have that I've funded in my budget. But the most important, I think, to me is the senior tiny home village. That will be, if there's anything that ultimately ends up as a result of my budget being passed, it's that we're able to do that and able to move that concept and that idea forward. And it's not just seniors, you know, there are a lot of folks in and around the reservation who would also benefit from a tiny home. You know, I know it's kind of a rage that's sweeping across the country, across the world for that matter, and it's really affordable, and I think there are a lot of things that we can do to address some of the issues around housing here for a lot of our tribal members. So that's another priority. Then in here also is the per capita payment for the membership. That's $10 million. That's about the amount of members that we have. It's roughly a $3,000 per capita payment. So hopefully with the approval of the budget, that will also be a part of it. So all in all, I feel like the budget that I put forward is really positive. There's a lot of positive growth. There's a lot of things that I've identified as priorities that will hopefully be funded. I will advocate hard. I will try to, persuade enough council members to come along with the vision that I have and help me help the community and improve the budget and get a lot of this stuff moving forward. That's just sort of a snapshot of the budget.
Well, it's definitely a lot of positive thoughts in there. I was just wondering, is the budget process that we use, is it, we've been using the same process over and over, mm-hmm. and for quite a while, and I'm just wondering, is there a different way we can do this? It just doesn't seem holistic. I mean, it's called the chairman's budget, sure. And it's not called the Hoopa Valley Tribal Council's budget.
When it's ultimately approved, it will be.
Well, yeah, but it's that's what they have. That's what's on the table. Sure. Then it would be. So, I just don't feel inclusive of this. I mean, it's a lot of voices are left out.
Sure.
So I'm just wondering, is there a different way we can do this?
There are probably a number of ways that we can do it. One thing, you're right, it's a process that we use year after year after year. The 6 years that I've been on the council, I think that of the 6 years, I've put forward a budget each of those 6 years. It is not an easy task. There obviously are a lot of numbers in here. There are a lot of moving parts. There are a lot of sort of hidden pockets of priorities that certainly aren't mine. Certainly, I don't think are priorities of a lot of the membership as well. You know, diving into that to that degree, just in the process that we have now, that's a substantial process that you have to go through to get to a finished product. And then, as you say, being inclusive of, in this case, the tribal council and bringing everybody to the table to identify what each individual priority might be or the collective priorities are, that itself is quite, I would call it difficult, but it takes an awful lot of time. And then as well, you have public hearings, you have meetings with the managers, and it's the process of approving the budget seems to be that there is likely a more efficient way to do it. I would just say that that's one thing. Now, to what you're suggesting is that a lot of folks feel left out of the process or feel like, you know, their voice isn't heard in the development of priorities. And I would say that I speak to a lot of people, speak to a lot of tribal members, speak to obviously every manager. Folks, if it's a campaign or if it's a general meeting or if it's a council meeting, if it's any of those things, people express to you oftentimes, you know, what their priorities are. And their expectation is that you're going to take their priority, my priority, and include it in the things that you do every day and in the process of the budget. And that's what we do. At times, all of the priorities that everyone has or have had don't make it into a finished product. And that's not as a result of folks not caring so much. It's more of, okay, I heard from these folks today. Well, maybe this councilman over here didn't hear from those folks. Therefore, those priorities don't align, but they're both the priorities of one another. And somewhere in the middle, you have to, or somewhere in that process, you have to meet in the middle, be able to get, keep the government moving and get a lot of this stuff done. So how could you make the process more inclusive of everyone? You would have to hold more intimate public meetings where you had a specific group, not anything related to any specific characteristics, whatever it is, but a small group of folks today, tomorrow, or the next day, where you sat down and essentially took every idea or every priority of those who want to be included in that, and then at the end of that, compiled all the information and identified out of that. In being realistic, you want to be able to do everything. You want to be able to fund as much as you can and prioritize it all in one budget. But in the end, ultimately, that isn't what happens. So for me, it would be, like I mentioned, having more intimate discussions with a small group of people over a period of time to be able to gauge or engage in the discussion about what those priorities are. I feel like I do that on a daily basis, every day, try to be available as often as possible. There are a lot of things happening across the tribe that take a tremendous amount of time, but you balance it all because that's what our job is and our requirement obligation to the membership is. That's why we ultimately get elected into these positions. So that would be my suggestion in order to try and make it more inclusive of other folks.
I agree. It to be inclusive, it takes a long time. It takes longer than the fiscal year, and it probably take longer than a council member's term. But it's got to be a process that is a groundswell,
uh-huh.
And it would allow the tribal council, whoever is sitting in those chairs, whoever we elect, have an idea or have the knowledge of where it is that we want to go. We haven't identified that. As a community, we have yet to identify where we want to go. You hear a lot from other people, and some people are more boisterous than others. But that doesn't mean that the people who are silent have no value. I mean, they've got valuable things to say, but we're not pulling them out. And we're not giving them that arena and that opportunity to be included. We hear that time and time again. You go to the general meetings, and one complaint that or statement that is made is a lack of communications over and over. And so what does that mean? We haven't asked them, well, what do you mean by that? We just jot it down, lack of communications, and it comes up in a bullet point, lack of communications. But we've never really investigated, well, what does that mean?
Sure. I think oftentimes it's, as you say, you know, folks, information is power. Information is knowledge. If folks don't feel like they're adequately informed, then they don't feel like that they have enough information, obviously, to whether it's make decisions or take the next steps in their daily lives. I mean, that's
I think what I'm talking about is building trust, because that's what happened with the whole settlement thing, that the tribal... Enough tribal members said, we don't trust what the council is going to do with this $42.9 million. So we're going to take it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been talked about over and over prior to that with smaller amounts.
Sure.
But the way to build trust is to let the people point the directions. And then you got the trust if that's what you're listening to.
Sure. I was in the same boat. The one thing that, as a council member, when the settlement money came in, was I said, look, if we as a group want to retain some of this funding, then we need to sit down and plan what it is that we'd like to do, where it is that we would like to focus the money that we would be keeping. Absent of doing that and absent leadership pulling folks together to make those priorities, make those plans, we should give it out to everybody, because I've been of like mind with most of the folks out here that if the tribal council can't put together a plan specific to how that money was going to be spent, then it shouldn't just sit in an account and be spent away on things that aren't priorities for people. Priorities for a person is what they are, whatever it is that day. So I was in the same boat. And one thing we've done here is spent time planning. We have a one-year plan. We have an action plan that was put into place. And throughout the year, I've worked hard to address a lot of the issues that were identified in that. Again, a lot of this stuff doesn't happen overnight. General meetings are a place where we solicit ideas and information and ask what those priorities are and try to address them. And what I've done through the budget process is put in place funding in order to be able to address a lot of the priorities that certainly I feel like have been relayed to me or requested of me or suggested of me, as well as priorities that I have or that I think are going to be beneficial to the tribe.
I'm thinking that the way to build trust is to say, we're going to get a large amount of money sometime again. And when I did the research on the settlement, the $49.2 million, mm-hmm. found out that that was known back in the year 2000, but it didn't come to us until, 2013? Like 13 years. So we knew that was, somebody knew that that was going to be there. We didn't know how much. But say it's just $1 million. Maybe it's only $2 million. Mm-hmm. We just put that figure out there. $5 million. What do we want to do with $5 million? What could we do with $5 million? How would we spend it in order to benefit the whole community? And just put it out there. So then all of a sudden, whoa, here comes $5 million and we already have the idea what to do with it.
Okay. I guess then the question I would have is what constitutes the community? You know, if you have a group of 10 people...
Well, even if you just limit it to tribal members.
Okay, well then what constitutes a priority of all tribal members with the $5 million? What you want to spend the $5 million on doesn't maybe fit with what you know the person in the other room wants to spend the $5 million
on. The concept is a consensus, of which is really, really difficult to do if you're trying to do it fast, because it's something that has to be done slow. You have to go slow in order to go fast, but if you go fast, you're guaranteed to go slow, and that's what we do over and over.
No, what I'm getting at, Joe, is that you're asking me what would $5 million, how would we spend $5 million to best benefit the tribal membership?
No, I'm asking the tribal membership what would we want to do if there was $5 million sitting on the table. Not what you would want to do, not what the tribal council would want to do. What would the tribal membership, what would be their ideas? And let's all talk about that. Let's maybe only 400 people talked about it. Maybe we just the adults under certain age groups or made a mixed group of age groups. Uh-huh. But put it out there in that way, and so that when we do have $5 million, we already know what to do.
Sure.
And that the leadership, you don't have to pull your hair out trying to soothe everybody's wants and needs.
Well, here's the thing. What the membership, the majority of the membership sees as a priority for substantial sums of money are per capita payments.
Maybe.
No, that's reality. I mean, you look at what's going on out there in social media. You go out there and you talk to folks. You go out there and you listen. That's what's being said. But I'm not arguing the fact that it's important to engage everyone in the discussion about the best way to utilize all of the tribe's resources. What I'm suggesting is that in that discussion, the priority of the majority will ultimately be what's going to have to be decided. And that will then have to be decided by in this case, the structure of the government that we have now is the leadership and the council, ultimately.